Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley is celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's The Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Message. This is Andrew Farley. So glad you're joining us tonight. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I hope you had a great one with you and yours. I did for sure. And I'm so thankful that we get to share in the gospel together. That, to me, is the biggest thing of all, sharing in Jesus. It's great to have family and friends and good food and all of those things. But what we can be most thankful for is Jesus himself. And, you know, I want to invite you to call in tonight if you have something you want to share that you're thankful for, or maybe you've got a question for us tonight. Perhaps sitting around the Thanksgiving table last night, you were discussing something with friends and family, and maybe you're still scratching your head about it, wondering. Let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines this Friday evening. Plenty of room for you right now with very little wait. Again, that number toll free across the United States and Canada. 877-655-6755. Maybe you've got a personal problem going on in your life right now, in your marriage, with your family, with your kids, in your church, whatever it might be, and you're looking for that grace message perspective. Well, that's precisely why we're here for you tonight, live and available right now. Three open lines, maybe four open lines remain right now. Lots of room for you. 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, you got to know we love it. We love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but it's been a while, you got something new on your mind tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, three open lines, loads of room right now with no wait. 877-655-6755. Well, this past week I was reflecting on Thanksgiving and why we can be thankful. You know, it seems like we do feel a bit of pressure as Christians. There's a lot of preaching and teaching out there. You better be thankful. You gotta be thankful. We feel like we have to drum it up. We feel like we have to fabricate it almost to grit our teeth and try to crank out thankfulness. And, you know, that's just not the way the gospel operates, is it? I mean, the grace of God is what inspires us to give thanks from the heart, and it can be real, and it can be natural, and that's the way it really should be. So I put together a few reasons that I wanted to share with you tonight, a few reasons that we Christians can be naturally thankful. The first one is that God chose us. I mean, he chose the Gentiles for salvation. And hey, that's you. Most likely that's you. If you're listening to this broadcast right now, you're either a Gentile or a Jew. And the good news is God chose you. He chose all of us. He was in Christ reconciling the world. He wants none to perish. He wants all to believe. And that invitation has been extended. So, wow, that's something to be thankful for, right? How about this new heart that we've got? Romans 6 says, we were slaves of sin, but we became obedient from the heart. So you can be thankful for that new heart that you have. Also, I noticed in Colossians 1, Paul talks about giving thanks for being qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. Think about the fact that you've been qualified, and that's not because of your great behavior. That's because Jesus Christ qualified you to have this inheritance. I know we often talk about rewards. We're imagining you're going to get 7, somebody else is going to get 12, I'm going to get 3, and Billy Graham's going to get 40,000 or whatever. We imagine rewards, plural. But in the New Testament, did you know the word rewards is actually reward, singular? And in fact, Paul talks about the reward of the inheritance. Now, an inheritance is not something earned. An inheritance is when someone dies and gives it to you. And that's what we find is the truth here. The truth that sets us free is that we all have an inheritance, and we can give thanks to God who has qualified us to share in that inheritance. So those are just a few reasons on my mind tonight, a few reasons we can be thankful. God has qualified us. He's given us a new heart, and he chose us for salvation, extending this gospel invitation to all of us. And that is a beautiful thing. Well, we're going to start out tonight in Maine, and we'll talk with Christine. Hey, Christine, what do you got for us tonight? What's on your mind, Christine? Hi there.
Hi. I'm just a little concerned because a lot of people seem to be dying around me lately.
Yeah.
And we know we're in the end times. And is there a waiting period or a level, or how does that work? Do we go right to heaven or hell, if you will? How does that work?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, no, there's no waiting period. As I like to say, you're not going to be circling heaven's airport when you die. You're not going to be in the waiting room as if you're waiting on that dentist to clean your teeth, looking for a good magazine to keep you busy for a few thousand years. While there's this concept of soul sleep that's taught in some circles, it is just simply not the truth that sets us free. I mean, Paul is very clear as he talks about the resurrection. He talks about absent from the body and present with the Lord. He's torn. Paul is torn between those two ideas. Basically, he's got a lot of exciting ministry to do on planet Earth, and yet, of course, he's thrilled about the idea of seeing Jesus face to face. So he's torn, and he says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. But you know what? He wouldn't say that if it was instead this false idea of absent from the body, and then you're in a dark holding tank for thousands of years until finally God flips the light on for you. I mean, you know, it says truthfully here that we can be of good courage. That's 2 Corinthians 5. We can be always of good courage because we know that anyone who's absent from the body is present with the Lord. We are at home in the body and we're away from the Lord. And then when we're away from the body, we're at home with the Lord. So it's an either or. That's my point. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. There's no purgatory. There's no temporary holding place. None of that. So you need to know that when Jesus was telling the thief on the cross, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He meant it. And that's Luke 23:43 if you're looking for the reference. But that was the promise to this man. Today, truly I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. So no waiting, no circling heaven's airport, no wondering, sitting in a dark holding tank, no soul sleep. It is instantaneous. So, Christine, I hope that's a comfort to you and an encouragement as you've lost loved ones, friends, relatives, it sounds like, as I have too. I mean, this past couple of years, we've seen a lot of death and loss, haven't we? And so just to know that anyone who's in Christ is immediately with the Lord, that is truly comforting. And that is exactly what Paul intended for us to be comforted by in 2 Corinthians 5 when he said, be of good courage. So I hope that helps you be of good courage, Christine, and call us back anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, let's go now to Ontario, Canada, and we'll talk with Gabriel. Hi, Gabriel.
Hi, Andrew Farley. So I was just listening to a, introduction. I'm Gabriel, and I'm from Ontario, Canada, and I have a question. I was just listening to a person by the name of Chuck Swindoll, and he was just talking about people having a purpose in life. And I'm wondering, what about the babies who get aborted? What's their purpose in life? Like, why would God create them knowing they would get aborted?
Okay. All right. Great. Well, that's certainly a mature question for a young man to be asking. And I think that's a beautiful thing, Gabriel, that you're thinking through these issues, not to mention that you're listening to some good preaching. And that's resulting in some important questions that anybody should ask. We have this fallen world, and I think your question could get bigger, Gabriel. Why did God allow people to be born who would be raped? Why did God allow people to be born who would experience murder? Why did God allow people to be born who would experience the Holocaust? We could go on. It could get bigger. Why did God create Satan when he knew that Satan would fall, that Lucifer would fall and become Satan and do everything that he's done? Why did God create Adam and Eve if he knew that Adam and Eve would sin, and then as a result of that, there would be death and disease and war and rape and murder and all of these horrible things, including abortion? So your question is huge, and I think it ultimately comes down to love. And you say, wait a minute, love? How is that related to love? Well, God apparently refuses to control people. And so love bears all things, love believes all things, and love never turns you into a robot. And so he did not turn Satan into a robotic, obedient servant. He did not turn Adam and Eve into automatons who had no choice. In fact, he very much gave them a choice, along with warnings. Don't eat of that tree. And if you do, you will surely die, and I don't want you to die. So I'm warning you ahead of time. But love refuses to control people, and love allows a choice of response. And so, with that fallen world and with that satanic rebellion and with Adam and Eve in the garden essentially drawing a ring around themselves and saying, Lord, I'm going to be Lord of this ring. Well, then you watch the hundreds and thousands of years that ensue after that. And what's the result? Rape and war and murder and violence and abortion. So does God just say, you know what? I'm not going to allow anyone to be born because I don't want them to experience that. No, he doesn't operate that way. And I don't have to fully get it, but I can just understand that this 1 Corinthians 13, when it says love bears all things, love believes all things, love always trusts. Well, what he's saying is, I believe that the human existence deserves to happen, and I'm not going to end it. I'm not going to end it because you guys have gone rogue. I'm not going to end it because Adam and Eve rebelled. I'm not going to end it because Satan sought to spoil it. In fact, I'm going to let you continue to procreate and continue to make choices and continue to reject me and spit on me on that cross and put a crown of thorns on me. And I'm going to allow you to choose all of those things because at the end of the day, love does not control people like robots. So we live in a fallen world, Gabriel. I mean, you step outside there in Ontario and, you know, perhaps at your young age, you might experience some rejection and some difficulty in this life as you get older. You know, it doesn't necessarily get better. We're learning to trust the Lord more, that's for sure. But there are things that are ugly in this world, and planet Earth is coming at us, and Christ is working in us. And so I know you heard a sermon about purpose, and, you know, our purpose is to have a relationship with God. And whether we live on this earth for 30 seconds or 30 years, our purpose is to have a relationship with God. And so when you've lived thousands of years, Gabriel, I'm talking about you having eternal life in Jesus. When you've lived thousands of years, your life in Ontario, Canada, which may last 80 years or 100 years or whatever, that is going to be like a blip on the radar to you. That's going to be a sentence or maybe a paragraph at most, because you're going to experience eternity with Christ. Now let's talk about these babies. I mean, these babies, they don't live 30 years or 100 years. They're 30 seconds, perhaps, in existence, or you could say 6 months in existence or whatever. But the bottom line is their life is taken. And we don't have chapter and verse on what happens next, except that David, a man who is after God's own heart, David loses his child, an infant, and David says that he won't come back, but I will go to him, David says. That's an inspired scripture in the Bible, and David believes he will be reunited with his child who died as a baby, as an infant. So with that and with the big heart of God, I think we got to just trust that our Father knows what he's doing. But I think the big takeaway here, my friend, is that God allows all kinds of ugly things, doesn't he? He allows rape and murder and war and violence and all kinds of horrible things, torture. And the early church was dragged from their homes and tortured and killed. You look at the church in China and all the things they've experienced, the Middle East and the abuses that have gone on there. As people have persecuted those in Christ. I mean, God is permitting all kinds of bad things to happen to good people, that is, his children, his saints. And so I think we have to chalk it up to love is not going to control. Love is not going to manipulate. And love allows a choice, even if it means there's going to be some pain and some disaster along the way. But God is bigger than all of that. I mean, look, Satan's attempt to ruin everything was outdone by Christ's attempt through Calvary and through the resurrection to fix everything. And now, when you look at it from an eternal perspective, Jesus has already won. Thanks, Gabriel. Thanks for your call. Reach out to us again anytime. All right, let's go to Texas, and we'll talk with Ray. Hey, Ray, what do you got for us tonight?
Yeah, how you doing today?
Hey, good.
I got some concern, you know, I know, but let me talk. Yeah, I'm going to hang up. Okay, I know I heard you one time. You said, I know one time a person called and asked you, will you go to heaven if you commit suicide? Mm-hmm. And the scripture said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. All right, then it said, thou shalt not murder. Mm-hmm. All right, and then the Bible said, it's a time and a season for all things. A time to die, a time to be born, a time to die. See, all that, you know, God, you know, doing all that. Not man. But the Bible is saying, and Job said it's always, it's not always time for a man to die. Mm-hmm. And then I heard Charles Stanford teach on that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I was a pastor, I won't teach that, because somebody can call in, like that person called in to you and say, will you go to heaven if you commit suicide? Mm-hmm. And then I heard you say, I got a team going to get with you. Don't hang up. It might have been too late. I mean, it could have been.
Okay, I hear you, Ray. I hear you. But see, the solution is not to lie to that person. They're asking if suicide is an unforgivable sin. And my job is not to lie to them in order to, preserve their life or somehow dodge the question. If they're asking, which 9 times out of 10, the people who ask on this broadcast, Ray, they're people who have lost a relative. They've lost a husband. They've lost a wife or a child to suicide. And they're questioning, is my loved one sitting in hell because they committed suicide? And so I understand that you didn't like how that question was handled one time or whatever, but you got to understand that 99% of the time, these are not folks who are ready to take their lives. These are folks who have lost people. And when they are ready to take their lives, you better believe. I mean, I made myself available personally to that person after the broadcast and through email and messages and all of that. I was totally available to that person, and our team was as well. In fact, two or three more people, who were ready to take their lives reached out to us. We put out a video on Facebook. We put out a video on YouTube and also on Instagram about the issue. And we had more people who were struggling contact us and we were able to reach out to them and minister to them as well. So the solution is not to, of course, not to lie to people or dodge the question. And so when someone calls and they ask me, is suicide an unforgivable sin? I'm going to say no for the rest of my days. I'm going to say no. And you know why? Because Jesus died for all of our sins, Ray. He took away all of our sins. He didn't leave any out. And the last thing I want people to believe is, Ray, if you lose a wife or a child or a relative or a friend to suicide, I don't want you running around in Texas there believing that, God kicks you when you're down. You could be a lifelong believer, but if you got depressed and took your own life, then all bets are off. Your salvation is yanked. Your forgiveness is no more. See, that's not agape love. That's not the unconditional love of our Heavenly Father. And so our job is to proclaim the truth no matter what that means. And I have found in 30 years of doing this that what it does is it actually warms a person's heart to a father who would love them in such a way, and it gives them hope because they're hopeless. And they're asking, is God still around for me? Have I ruined this? Have I messed this up? Have I gone too far? Is there no hope for me? It is my privilege and honor to remind people of the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, people try to say, oh, well, 1 John 5 says there's a sin that leads to death, and that sin is unforgivable. Well, you know, the idea of it not being forgiven is not even mentioned in 1 John 5. It's absolutely absent. What John is talking about is the sin of unbelief. When you reject the gospel, it leads to spiritual death, not physical death. It has nothing to do with suicide. Suicide is not an unforgivable sin. If you're in Christ, all of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. So, you know, we could talk about thou shalt not murder and all that. Well, you know, murdering is a sin. Well, you know, Jesus said if you get angry with somebody, it's the same as murder. So have you gotten angry with someone? Well, I have. And so then that's equal with murder? Well, yeah, by the standard of the law, murder and anger and looking with lust and actually committing adultery, all of those are the same. And we're dead. The wages of sin is death. And then God comes along and through Jesus gives us life. And he doesn't give us partial forgiveness. He gives us total forgiveness. So you got to understand, Ray, that the history of those folks who were teaching that suicide is unforgivable, I mean, that largely is coming out of the Catholic Church. And the reason they taught it is because there's no time for a last-minute confession. Now, I got to tell you, we're not forgiven by our last-minute confessions. We're forgiven by the blood of Christ. We're not forgiven because we had an hour left where we could recite everything we've done wrong. We were forgiven because of the blood of Jesus, because of the cross. We're righteous because of the resurrection. And there's no created thing, including ourselves, no created thing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. And so when we start realizing that that's how God feels about us, and that he doesn't ditch us in our darkest hour, and he's not kicking us when we're down, then we start believing in the ginormous love of God. You know what I'm talking about, the love that Ephesians describes. When we get to know the width of it, and the breadth of it, and the depth of it, I mean, the ginormous love of Christ, that's what's going to heal people. That's what's going to inspire people. So, you know, I was pretty excited, in fact, about the response that we had that night on radio when we needed to address suicide, as other people came out in droves, in private messages, on email, even publicly on social media, and thanking me for the video. So, you know, I think we are just privileged and honored to talk about this forgiveness that we have, past, present, and future. And there's no fly in the ointment. There's no worm in the apple. There's no exception. We're totally forgiven forever.
For more information on the broadcast ministry of Dr. Andrew Farley, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us next time as we invite you to celebrate the grace message with Dr. Andrew Farley. This program is sponsored by your generous financial support.